Happy Saturday, boys and girls. This is Jeffrey at Jeffrey TV coming to you live on Memorex. Default location, alternate weekend route. I got my knapsack and a couple of grocery bags stuffed in the back of my pants because we're going to stop by Ralph's, get something to eat. Because I'll be damned if it's not always about what I'm going to eat. It always seems to come down to what I'm going to eat. And also I was thinking, as I laid in the bed for almost 3 hours today, in the quiet, on my phone, just scrolling. You know, I'll be scrolling these reels. I guess they're reels, you know, Facebook, whatever, Instagram, not people's. You know, other people's, but like the stars and stuff. Like the sports stars who talk to people, Gibble Arenas, talk to someone's Pivot, Ryan Clark and them, and Matt Barnes, and I think Stephen Jackson, I think that's his name. You know, just listening to people talk. You know, Club Shay Shay came up. Just hear Negroes talk and tell stories. And you can sit there for a few hours just listening, you know, at least I can. Or just, you know, just scrolling through with people, you know, my friends, my news feed, seeing what people are posting, seeing what's out there, seeing what ads get pushed at me, seeing what kind of something I might want to buy, you know, just, and later for like 3 hours. I woke up at 7 or something. You know, like, didn't get the TV on or nothing. You know, didn't want to watch any Steeler podcasts or anything. Just laid there for, really not laying. I was to the point that my elbow and my arm start hurting from holding the phone. You get to the point where your elbow and your arm start hurting. You get stiff or whatever from holding the phone so much. And you got to like, put the phone down and rest your arm. Then I started thinking, well, you could put it on the TV because you got a laptop connected to the TV. You can watch it on TV, but it's not the same. It's not the same. There's something about scrolling and navigating on your phone and get from point A to point B and not have it on the big, I think I got 32-inch screen in there, 43-inch screen. I'm not sure, but probably 32-inch screen in my bedroom. You know, you don't really want anything that big or even the sound with that much volume. You just want something, you know. My God. And I started thinking to myself, how much I just love being there by myself. How much I just love being by myself. And then I thought, well, it wasn't but 2 days ago, you were just loving hanging at the holiday party, you know, doing what you do at the holiday party. Being around people, that festive kind of mood and music and, you know, my familiarity with being in a setting, a festive party, type atmosphere, club, whatever. And it was like a converted cathedral. They used to have the confessionals, which were still in the real confessionals. You can see where the altar was. The altar was, you know, kind of unauthorized. And it was where the DJ was. Big, beautiful. You know, beautiful space. It's high class. You know, I work for the second largest law firm on the planet. These people don't mess around. These people do not mess around. In fact, I was saying the other day that I don't work in a practice office. I don't work in an office where the lawyers are at. I work in the technology building, the global technology building. And it's downscale. I went to New York. I saw what New York was dealing with. Changed my whole perspective on what the hell I'm doing in my career. this elevated my career tremendously. I'm like, I'm fucking around with these people? This is the company I'm doing what I'm doing at? I'm performing this way, performing that way? You know, I'm holding my own, you know, being one of the best performers, blah, blah, blah. On this level? Whoa, okay. I saw that New York office, the gym, and they had a nurse, multiple floors, right across the street from Radio City Music Hall, and the Major League Baseball building. Oh my God. This ain't no joke. And see, the LA practice office is like walking distance from where we are. But you know, we don't usually go up there, but I guess it's nice too. You know, because we're not on the front lines. I'm global, so we're mostly phones. It's probably why we may be one of the last, or maybe, what, I don't want to say the last to go back, but we have probably the best reason or justification to work from home. You know, we have the best justification work from home, because we don't deal face-to-face with any customers or anything. We're 100% phones. So, you know, we don't interface with anybody. We don't have to our building doesn't have to impress anybody. You know, we're not trying to impress clients and this and that, that and this. What you gonna do? You gonna stop? You gonna go? Okay, thank you. Just let me know so you don't run me over. Clear me down at the park. I like down here. I'm often reminded of how social humans are. And they have like little, see, you got the little exercise group over there. People out playing sports and exercising and boxing and yoga. And human beings are gregarious and social. And I understand it. I get it. I preach it a lot. I know they're that way. I understand that I may or may not be that way to a lesser degree, or at least definitely in a more controlled situation, to where I'm not having nobody coming over my house unannounced. Not even family. If you're gonna come over, you let me know you're coming over. Ain't no knocking on my door. And it gets weird when I'm back in Ohio with them people, and I do it to them, and I feel guilty because they'd be like, "Yeah, come on over, yeah, yeah." Like Brittany and Jesse, I might walk up on their house anytime. Dude, knock on the door, "Hey, I'm here. What's up? What y'all doing?" If they was do that to me, I'd be feeling some kind of way. But you know, people are different, and I understand that. And that's what I was saying, why maybe back. Why maybe I just love being by myself so much. And then I thought, well, you love being around other people too. And you just got through saying you need to go out more. Now, which is it? And I think it goes back to something my mother told me a long time ago. She said, whatever you're doing, you think it's the best in the world. Whatever I'm doing, it's like whatever I'm doing right now, and that probably could be the ultimate acknowledgement of being in the moment. It's like whatever you're doing, you think it's the best ever. And that's probably kind of what it is. Whatever I'm doing right now seems to be the best feeling in the world. Like literally right now, walking down the street doing this. Doing this, you know, on a Sunday, on a Saturday, off work, beautiful weather here in California, got my sauna suit on, you know, blah, 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 blah. I feel good. I feel like I'm what I'm gonna say, extraordinarily good for whatever reason. You know, whatever reason it could be. I just know that I just enjoy it. I guess I enjoy the moment, or being in the moment, or whatever I'm doing. I've probably always been like that. I've always been a happy kid. In fact, my grandson number two seemed to have some of that, you know, always smiling. He was smiling before he was supposed to even be able to smile. And like look at you and smile, his eyes wide open, aware. It looked like he was aware. He's looking around. And he's only like a month old. I'm like, is he supposed to be on his stomach holding his head up? He's only like 2 months old. And looking around and look at you and a smile. I'm like, oh my, and this so chill. You can hold him. He don't cry or nothing. And so when he get hungry, then, you know, they let you know. And my mother said that me and Jeffrey were like that. He said I was definitely like that. And my sister said Jeffrey was definitely like that. My son, who has the father of grandson number two. Got grandson number one and grandson number two. And I said, if I say grandson, y'all both look. And we'll figure it out later, which one I say. But you grandson number two, you grandson number one. All right, and I'm grandfather. All right, great. And like grandson number one, it's kind of really standoffish, really shy, I guess, whatever. Really don't want to be bothered with people, really don't like crowds. I mean, to the point of, you know, he just like going to a shell or whatever. But I was like, I don't care. Hey, you gonna stop? I was like, I don't care. I'm your grandfather. I'm gonna get you. I don't care how you want to be about this or that. Can I walk down there? I'm gonna cross the street. I usually don't. I usually just go ahead and walk down there. See, they got this all blocked off. They building stuff here. I usually just walk down here. The Sunkist building's behind there. They just built these apartments. I remember when they were like shells. I probably could walk down there. Yeah, I could, huh? I'm not. I'm gonna switch sides just to be a team player. Just to be a team player, I'm gonna walk over here. So you got Bloomingdale's up there. This is what I do, and I enjoy it. This is what I do. We got Trader Joe's over there. Somebody, I was reading about a Youngstown group, and they were talking about grocery stores, and somebody said that Youngstown need a Trader Joe's. I was like, wow, I never even, you know, considered that. I'm probably sure I considered that, but it didn't hit until I heard it. Because, you know, they were talking about the Sparkle Markets, the Value Kings, the Giant Eagles, you know, that Youngstown type of food. Industrial, wintertime, comfort food, you know, maybe not the best for you. Hey, they go, maybe not the best for you, you know, but, and not necessarily cheap or low, you know, economical, just more heartier food, you know, there's maybe not to eat, not as intelligent, I guess, or foods, whatever you want to call it. You know, like Trader Joe's or Whole Foods has. There's no Trader Joe's back there. Hell, like I told this story before, in Youngstown, there ain't no grocery stores at all. You got to go to a suburb. And it's not far. It's not like you got to leave town. You know, it's like a street divide the cities or townships or whatever you want to call them between Youngstown and Boardman. You know, like one street. And then you're in Boardman or Youngstown. And Trader Joe's was in there, and, you know, I never really considered, just thought about it in that deeper way. You gonna let me get across here? I did it. See, now I came across back across the street. Here's the Sunkist building. Here's Bloomingdale's. Came back across the street this way. This is the side I'm used to walking on. Because I got to make a right when I get down to Ventura Boulevard. Yeah, I mean, it's in here, and I've told this before, and it hits. I must be telling it again because it hits. I'm a 10-minute walk from a 24-hour grocery store, 24-hour major grocery store. That's what I'm used to. 2-3 o'clock in the morning, don't matter. I'm used to being able to go in the grocery store and get what I need at all times. And late night food, Carl's Jr. stays open until 3 a.m. You know, there's more than a few places that are open 24 hours here. Youngstown, shit is closed at 10, 11. 11 p.m., shit is closed. How much water we got? Oh, we got a little bit. 11 p.m., 10, 11 p.m., Youngstown closed. You're not getting this or that, or this, that, or this. I'm used to it. Like I said, hey, Ralph's. I'm going to walk to my Ralph's, chip in my car. I got 7-Eleven, in fact. We even got a 7-Eleven. It's kind of close, too, in case if I need to get up and do something like that. It's in walking distance, but it's kind of a farther walking distance. It's technically in walk. Well, everything, you know. As much as I walk, almost everything can be pretty much called. What's all this? These people having some kind of super yard sale? These people just out here being. These people, oh, look at old-fashioned luggage. People just out here being. Because they just looking. Ain't no good stuff there. Well, look at the, oh, this must be vintage stuff. Because that old suitcase, that old kind of Samsonite hard cover, there's more than one old style suitcase. Yeah, that stuff didn't look like new and good. It looked more like sentimental kind of stuff. But, you know, and speaking of Youngstown, what I really cut this on for, well, one of the catalysts and motivations for me to actually start talking was I was thinking about Ole Niro, who I stereotypically designate as a typical California nigga. And I say that with respect because of the cultural and demographic lines in which he straddles. Because he definitely black. He was definitely raised, you know, in the hood. He'll tell you all about it, you know. But he enunciates. And he's traveled. He's been traveled. So he's been exposed to other cultures. Even though he never really did D.C. or Detroit. He never went to any real Negro cities. But, you know, he's the typical, and he wear Crocs. He used to wear flip-flops. You know, we don't know how. We just didn't do that. But anyway, so he grew up here. The point being, where is he going to retire? Where is a person like that going to retire? Or how do they retire? The rent and stuff here is crazy. You gotta work. And so that means, and by retiring, it's one thing to retire and still be able-bodied. It's another thing to get to a point where you can't work no more. You know, how do you pay rent? How do you stay in California with the prices and stuff like that? I don't understand it. I don't understand how. Okay, I mean, you get your Social Security check. I mean, you know, you get so much money. That's going to be tight. That's gonna be tight. Okay, just say if I say the only thing I have was my Social Security. And say I got 37. Say I work till I'm 70 and I get $3,700 a month. Right now, my rent is $1,800 a month. So, and then I gotta pay taxes on that money, I believe. You know, that's not even including any Prime videos or anything, and then my internets and my websites and, you know, electric and gas, car if I'm still driving. And I think me getting $3,700 a month is probably on the high side. I'm thinking I'm probably doing better than a lot of people. But even with $3,700 a month, okay, I'm paying $1,800 a month now. 7 years, who knows how much it's going to be. And Social Security isn't adjusted for inflation, I don't believe. And that's one of the things they were saying. Political fodder to get them to vote for you, or not taxing Social Security, blah, 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 all that. So all of a sudden, now that stuff is important to me. And the point I got to, which ties back to Youngstown not having no Trader Joe's. Hell, Boardman and Niles don't even have a Trader Joe's. And they're the kind of more, you know, developed, businessy kind of, the mall's there, you know, you got all your restaurants and lights and energy and people. They don't even have a Trader Joe's. Because I basically don't think the culture, like they put in bicycle lanes down in Lobia. They put bicycle lanes on both sides of the street and actually kill the driving lane. So now Midlothian is one lane each direction. Midlothian is like a main street. And it's one lane each direction, which is ridiculous if you ask me, to put in the bicycle lanes. But they must have had another reason for it, because I give benefits to humans of the doubt. I give humans the benefit of the doubt. They must have had some kind of other strategic or done some kind of other research. Find out why they did that. Maybe improve property value, make it more friendly or congenial, or some kind of government subsidy or kickback to do that. Energy concerns, blah, blah, blah. But it's just not that kind of culture. It's not a Trader Joe's bike riding culture, let alone the fact it get wintertime. Ain't nobody riding that goddamn bike in the wintertime. With the rain and the snow in the winter. And I saw a blog or something. Somebody was like, they ain't never seen anybody ride in the bicycle lane. But anyhow. See, and having grown up back there and having family back there, I can move and retire back there. Live like a king. You know, I just have to navigate the wintertime, probably, mostly. I could travel. I have to drive to Cleveland to get to a damn airport. Cleveland or Pittsburgh, which ain't too bad. The money I save in rent and stuff could or may give me, you know, more money, more disposable income to travel and to get to places. Be like, but maybe once I got over missing the LA Maggots and what they do out here, even though I don't go as much as I used to, you know, summertime, and I can fly back for things, you know, because I'm retired, you know, there's nothing stopping me but an airplane ticket, fly back. Maybe have something set up here to where I can crash and stay. You know, get a car or whatever. Or maybe buy a house way out. Maybe Vegas. I heard Vegas is relatively cheaper. But ain't nothing gonna be cheap as Youngstown. I just Google. In fact, first thing I Google What's the difference between a condo and a townhouse? Come to find out, townhouse, you own the structure, the exterior, the ground, and everything. Townhouse, you own the property, everything. There's usually no homeowner's fees because you own the property. Of course, you got to pay property taxes on it. You own the inside, the outside of the structure. Condo, basically, you just own the inside of the structure and you pay homeowner association to take care of the outside. You know, keep the outside nice and stuff. You as a group, home, you know, homeowners association of all the things come together, make sure things stay uniform, up to date, and they police, you know, your neighbors and stuff, and meetings and all that. Because really, I don't need a house. I've been looking at houses, you know, not looking, but you just walking by and say, could I live in that? A lot of them are very, very too big. A lot of them are too big. And I don't need nothing all that big. And some of them are too stylish. I don't see myself living anything, making a stylish statement or having a motif. Well, I guess my minimalistic motif is what I dig on, you know, that stark black and white perpendicular lines, etc. Guitar Center. I don't see my microphone up there. Do I see any of my microphone up there? Yep, I see it. There it is, MXL. I see it. XL, see it up there in the corner? Can you see that? Yep, I see my microphone up there. One of the first ones I bought when I was buying them. I got like two of them. I think it came with the interface. Well, the interface came with it, and I think that's how I got Tascam. Because I ended up becoming a Tascam user. Because my first interface was that, my microphones, and I would use to record. Years ago when I first started learning how to record bands, I wanted to get good quality sound and learn all that. But now my interface, I had a Tascam US-122 Tascam that's only two channel, in and out. I had a Tascam 144 that was two channel. Then I went to the Tascam 1800, which was 16 channels, in and out. I was able to hook up multiple instruments, people come over, guitars, you know, MIDI, whatever. And then I went to Steinberg. Since I went all in on Steinberg Cubase, you know, I got Cubase Pro, spending the money. In fact, I'm behind an update. I'm an update behind. They're at 14 now, I'm at 13. They want $99 to upgrade. I'm like, you know, whatever. Wait for it to go on sale or something. Hopefully it'll go on sale and I can upgrade later. I mean, because it does the same thing. Instruments and all that, pretty fairly up to date. I got the Steinberg interface. It's designed to work with, you know, the Steinberg product and software, et cetera, et cetera. I think that lady let her son in the car, got him in the car and closed the door. I wonder if he's sitting in the back. Well, if he's sitting in the front, she kind of helped him in the car and they shut the door. He's like nine. I'm going to tell you now, I'm a granddaughter. I'm like, in the car. I'm like, you can't open the car door yet? And I remember doing it one time with my daughter. You know, because they just so, you know, the mothers and they're so nurturing and maternal that, you know, it's easy. Number one, it's easier to do it yourself. It's much easier and faster if, you know, she just go ahead, grab granddaughter, throw in the car seat, blah, 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 instead of waiting for her to go through it and all that. But you know me, I got time, so, you know, it's kind of a novelty. I'd be like, get in the car. Get in. Get in your seat. You know how to get in your car seat. I'm saying, you know how to, here, you ought to be able to button yourself up. You know how to do it. Give me your arm. You know, she done her routine just as good as we do. But you know how mother is maternal. I understand that nurturing, that sense of security. And, you know, you just want to have done things, keep them safe and protected. And like I said, there's nothing in this universe I've seen that is stronger or more powerful than mother. So any instinct they have or any tendencies like that, I can't poo-poo, or I can't really say anything negative against. I mean, I could say it, and there's probably some, you know, some go overboard, you know, some too protective, which isn't good for them or the child. But for the most part, they're on the front lines, dealing with children day to day, every day. They win. I'd be hard pressed to say anything bad or negative, because to me, that is the hardest thing in the world. To me, that is like the hardest thing in the world. Parenting, that having to constantly have your attention. Your attention isn't yours anymore. You know, you're not yourself anymore. You're how many kids you have, people, plus one. You're probably even less than, no, I can't say you're less than a half, because you gotta be more than a half. You gotta be more than yourself. You gotta be you and them. And I'm not one who's been, well, I feel it's hard for me to give my attention to anything else other than me. I struggle with it after a while. That's probably why I say how much I just love being by myself, how much that those moments just being by myself feel so good, just so deeply good. And then next thing you know, I'm in the middle of the party turning up. And that feels so, so good. it feels good. I think I'm getting back to feel good. I think I'm starting to get back to being close to 100%. I think I'm getting closer and closer to being 100% physically and psychologically, mentally, whatever, my mojo. I think I'm starting to get back. And it feels good as I walk down Ventura Boulevard, Southern California. You know, I love California too. I love being here. I love that I made it here. That's another thing I tell people. You know, I've been to Moscow, I've been to Paris. I've done this, I've done that. Probably the main thing, one of the main things I always want to, that I'm proud of and I'm aware of, I made it in Los Angeles. I made it in California. My God, that's just like super important to me. I made it in California. I came out here, $100 in my pocket. Bus ticket. You know, I had family out here. I had support from home. You know, I wasn't like on my own by no means. But I came out here and I made it. Now look at me. Walking Ventura Boulevard out here with the California people, know my ways around the freeways, just jumping traffic, airports, downtown LA, working downtown in skyscrapers. It was always my dream to do that. Be involved with the funk community out here, funk music, travel the world seeing funk, seeing my Pittsburgh Steelers. The whole thing, you know, the whole, my experience and how intimate or close I'm able to experience my passions. It's like important. These people flying around here, better watch out, they'll run you down. They will run you down. You know you ain't supposed to be in the crosswalk. You ain't got nowhere to go. People be like in such a hurry. In-N-Out Burger. I love this freaking place. Look at it, it's all sunny. It's, what, December. December 14th. And I'm out here sweating. I'm wearing my sauna jacket, which has me sweating a little bit. I thought I was going to be a little bit too hot, but it's not. I thought it was going to be a little bit too hot, but it's not. It's really not. Yep. I love it. But can I retire here? And I'm noticing, too, that spending time back with family and granddaughter, it's not as horrible as it used to be. It's not as horrible as it used to be, and it's probably because I'm changing. Not so much them or the situation. It's probably because I'm changing. It used to be horrible being back in Youngstown. And I'm exaggerating. But for too long, then I got to get back. I had to get back. Because this wasn't enough going on. It could be that. And it could be that I needed to be by myself, the time by myself. You see, Best Buy, they open that door. So every time I'm walking up here, I have a tendency to go in there and buy something I don't need, knowing I'm going to take it back. So I'm going to see what this camera does. I'm going to check out and see what I can do with this camera. Oh, okay. Take it back. Then go on Amazon. And get it cheaper or even used. I was thinking, look at you. Go on Amazon and get it cheaper or used. I wonder if Best Buy matched that price. I wonder if I say, hey, Best Buy, I bought this camera here and now it's at Amazon. Can you reimburse me that price or are you gonna make me take it back and buy this one? I should check into that. That might be a possibility. Blockbuster Video used to be there, in that corner. Just come get our VHS tapes and movies. I don't think I did DVDs. I think I did DVDs out of Redbox. But VHS was the craze. When DVDs came along, I think I was out of that. Wasn't so much into renting movies, but I think I probably rented a couple or two. Because I did have a Blu-ray player just to have one. It was on sale and I had disposable income. I think I used it for like 4 or 5 times. And the next day after that, everything went to streaming. Right, so what's the point of even having a red box? The red box used to be fun to go to. This is $2. It was $2. Of course, it was $2 until you forgot to take them back. Or you didn't take them back in time. That's how they get you. They get you a bunch like that too. But anyway, back to the question at hand. How do you retire here? How is somebody like Ole Niro gonna retire in California? I mean, maybe he can go somewhere else and retire, but these California people spoil. They grew up with this. They spoil. Not alone with the weather, the opportunity, because you can say you live in the ghetto. You can say like you live in the worst ghetto in Los Angeles and this and that, but 30 minutes away is Hollywood and some of the most glamorous jobs and business opportunities in the world. In Youngstown, it's a little bit, you got to drive probably like an hour. And that's just to get to Cleveland or Pittsburgh, which is definitely, a bigger city and more opportunity, but it's definitely not a Los Angeles. So even if you grow up in a bad neighborhood here, every day you could be seeing stuff about multi-million dollar this, billion dollar that, opportunities, jobs, education. The opportunities are, you know, a bus ride away. And they just get spoiled. A lot of people, a few people born and raised in California, never even been to San Francisco. I'm like, how the hell you done born and raised here? You never been to San Francisco? What? They go to Vegas though. They get to Vegas. Hood folks get to Vegas. For whatever reason, the hood folks will get to Vegas. And I can understand why they would have no inclination to go to San Francisco. That's easy to see, easy to understand. But, and it, so I'm saying they spoil. So when they go, see, like when I go back to Ohio, I got kind of an idea of what that life is like. And I've been exposed to that life before. And I don't want to say that I'm used to it, because I'm probably not used to it anymore, but I've had experience with it. I know what to expect. You know, I got a sense of an idea of what's going on there. Ain't nothing like California. All of a sudden you're going to, you know, all of a sudden you're going to uproot and move to a different place, different lifestyle, different everything. At an older age where you're less apt to learn new stuff, less apt to where you want to learn new stuff, new culture, make new friends, et cetera, et cetera. I ain't go back to Ohio. I got family back there. And I know my way around. Hell, I might even have some connections. I might even have some connections and some pull back there. Hell, yeah, Jim, my name might even carry a little bit of weight for all I know. Come back there, yeah, I was born and raised here. I did this in LA. I worked here, I worked there. Put that on my resume, go looking for a job. Go looking for a help desk job in Youngstown, Ohio. After he had work at the second largest law firm on the planet for over 10 years. Put that on my resume. I work for JPL, I work for this, I work for that. You say, oh. You say, what the hell you doing back here looking for a job? So, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, when I'm coming back, I mean, I can work part-time. So, yeah, I got experience in this. I've done this, I've done that. People love that Barbie happy. I said, no more way around. Got family there. Got roots there. And I keep hearing that the winters are milder and milder. He said, still get cold. But as far as a lot of that snow, you're not getting that much snow anymore. You know, they say they might have had like 2 snow days or 2 days of heavy snow and stuff. And did I even say the best part yet? I could buy a house. Standalone house is way too big for just a portion of my retirement that I have right now. Just a portion of my retirement and 401k that I have right now, I could buy a house. In fact, I should buy one now, huh? I should actually buy one now and plan to retire there. Buy one now, rent it out. Let's see, if I pull the money from my 401k, I won't get a penalty, but I got to pay taxes on it. If I pull $100,000 out, that's like I got to pay $22,000 in taxes. The fuck? And that, you know, that whole idea of doing something like that is crazy. Wait till I get in the lower tax bracket and do it up that way. But then again, 70, 80, probably 100 grand, 130 grand, I can get something well more than that. 130 grand back there, I can get some ground. If I was to take out 130 grand and have to pay 22% taxes, that'd be maybe $28,000 in taxes. My God. My God. But then again, I guess that's just the price of being in it. But I got to start looking at all that. Get me a condo, townhouse. Live back there like a king. $3,700 a month. Already had bought a condo flat out, no rent. No mortgage rent payment. Property value down there is, I mean, not property value. Property tax down there is extremely low. And there's also other cities that I could go to. I was thinking maybe the Carolinas, where the weather might be more mild and such. I don't know. Just think about that kind of stuff. That was the thought for today. That's the thought for today. That's the thought for today. Because I got to think about it. Got to put it on the radar. Because I'm getting down. If I retire at 67, my financial advisor said, retire at 67. The difference in money you may or may not make up or whatever, you got like live so long to get that money back. But then again, if I'm working, still making blah, 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 blah every year doing something that I don't mind or even enjoy, why retire? I still can go and come and please and do what I need to do. Still traveling. You know, and if anything, I got too much time. I got too much time. Maybe when all of a sudden if I retire, I just dive into the Jeffrey TV legacy and start working hard on it like I was, you know, a real job and putting real effort into it. That didn't take up my time. But they say, if you ain't doing it, why you working? Don't think you're gonna flip a switch as soon as you retire and become that person. But you never know. Maybe on the weekends I need to rest. When I say, oh, I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna do this. Maybe come the weekend after a work week, you know, with my walking and working 8 hours a day and this and that, maybe I need to rest. And maybe without that working, I have more energy. And be able to focus on, you know, doing Jeffrey TV stuff and developing my music and other opportunities of my creative potential that could probably, you know, make me some money. Turn into like a real job. Now, you know, not like a real job, but a real source of income. Something that needs more attention, you know, more attention like that. Well, anyway, swing it, y'all. Two times. For me, for the phone. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. The totality of it all, the theory of universe, hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.